Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, I'm going to go through every position and give some buy lows and sell highs, and then also a bit of weekly advice for all four of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. So starting at quarterback, the clear buy low for me would be Bo Nix. He had 20 fantasy points last week, so definitely a solid start. But it feels like Denver still hasn't really found their rhythm offensively. Certainly better in week 2 than week 1, but eventually they'll be firing on all cylinders, and more deep shots will connect like we saw with Marvin Mims last week. So Nix is the clearest buy low at quarterback, and there aren't really many options here. A shallow position, and you want to get a star. And we think Nix, as I mentioned in the first episode of the year, has superstar potential. And now he's right behind that elite group of Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, and Jaden Daniels, who is now hurt, with Joe Burrow out until at least the fantasy playoffs, and the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes showing definite signs of concern. So for the sell high, again, it's pretty shallow at quarterback. So I'll sort of mix the dynasty perspective here with Drake May, someone else I mentioned already this season. Last week, I'd say he'd be a top 15 start in a great matchup against the Dolphins, but I don't have a ton of confidence in him emerging as a superstar, which is what many seem to expect. I certainly won't say it's impossible under Josh McDaniels, and the rushing upside boosts his fantasy outlook, but I don't believe in him at the level I do Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, or even Michael Penix Jr. So May, someone to consider selling, especially in dynasty leagues. And for this week, Marcus Mariota, if he draws a start for Jaden Daniels, we have as the overall QB11, so a low-end QB1. The Raiders play hard defensively, but still I think a good matchup for him against his former team. And Mariota last year played at an extremely high level in Cliff Kingsbury's offense, so he's the top streaming option at quarterback for week 3. At running back, the buy lows are a couple of rookies, and we're betting on the talent here. The big one is Ashton Jeanty. He's only averaging 2.7 yards per carry through 2 weeks. His 5 receptions have turned into just 3 yards, and the offensive line is the biggest issue right now for Las Vegas. But Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly are too good as coaches to not get Jeanty going, and Jeanty himself too good of a player. So if there's an impatient owner who puts Jeanty on the block, we still have RB1 expectations for him, and hopefully the offensive line gels as the season moves along. Then the other buy low is Quinshon Judkins, who already looked great in his debut. He rushed 10 times for 61 yards against a tough Baltimore defense. You should be able to see when Judkins gets the ball and can pick up ahead of steam. He's different than most guys. Cleveland will want to run the ball to somehow climb into contention at 0-2, and Judkins will be the offensive centerpiece. So this week against the Packers will be tough based on how Green Bay's looked, but Judkins is somehow available in quite a few leagues, and he's a clear top waiver ad and should be acquired in a trade if possible, both in redraft and dynasty leagues before it's too late. And for the sell high, I guess Javonte Williams would be the top guy. He's looked a lot better in Dallas than he did at the end of his Denver tenure, but he benefited from a couple of short scores in the opener and then faced one of the worst run defenses in the league last week against the Giants when he had 97 yards and a score. So we have him as a top 20 play this week, get to another really good matchup against the Bears based on how Chicago has struggled. So it might make sense to hope he has another big day and then look to move Williams with his value at his highest. I'm sure Jaden Blue, the rookie running back, will be involved at some point this year. He's a major receiving threat out of the backfield, and Dallas remains a pass-happy offense. CeeDee Lamb will start finding the end zone. So Williams is an RB2 for us this week, but after that I look to sell high with fear he might turn into more of a touchdown-dependent flex, which was the expectation entering the season. And also for this week, not that it's any groundbreaking analysis, but Jordan Mason should be a top 15 play if Aaron Jones is out, and I would avoid the Giants backfield against the Chiefs on Sunday night. Kansas City now at 0-2, so they'll be desperate, and one of the things they've continued to do is play really good run defense. So with Tyron Tracy Jr. and Cam Scadaboo splitting work, probably best to avoid both if possible in week 3. At wide receiver, I don't have any sell highs because a lot of stars really haven't lived up to expectations thus far. So I'll have 4 buy lows: AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Rashee Rice, and Jamar Chase. For Brown, it's pretty simple, banking on the superstar ability and the Philadelphia passing attack getting going eventually. The concern is new offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo maybe being unable to unlock the potential of the passing attack, but it's not like we haven't seen Brown put up huge numbers catching passes from Jalen Hurts, and hopefully they get some downfield shots this week against the Rams. For Metcalf, he's had a tough schedule to start out against the Jets and Seahawks. He did find the end zone last week and could get another tough draw this week if Christian Gonzalez is back at cornerback for the Patriots, but the schedule will eventually lighten up, and it's been encouraging for him to get short targets in addition to the downfield potential that should soon get on track with Aaron Rodgers. For Rashee Rice, if you're in a league where the Rice owner is 0-2, it could make sense to make a trade offer to see if you can seal him away with 4 more missed games due to the suspension. When he's back, I assume Rice will be featured prominently with the Chiefs struggling offensively. He's essentially been a wide receiver 1 when on the field, so it makes sense to buy now before the return is more imminent and his value increases. And Chase as the final buy low at wide receiver. He'll be without Joe Burrow for at least 3 months. Sounds like potentially the season, depending on where Cincinnati's at, but I think they'll remain in contention. Jake Browning's a steady hand under center, but this is mainly about the fantasy playoff schedule. If Joe Burrow is back, Chase will face the Ravens, who he killed last year, the Dolphins, who have maybe the worst secondary in the league, and the Cardinals, who don't have a shutdown corner. So if you can weather the storm and get into the fantasy playoffs, Chase could pay huge dividends and would likely be a high-end wide receiver one, and perhaps the top play at the position once again. The only sell high that I'd potentially mention is Quentin Johnston, just based on how on fire he's been to start the season. But as mentioned last week, I think the play of Johnston is for real. He seems to have put everything together. I don't like the matchup this week versus Denver, with the Broncos coming off a loss, but maybe he could be a piece in a larger trade as someone that looks like an upside weekly flex. Focusing on week 3, I like Terry McLaurin to bounce back in a great spot against the Raiders, whether it's Jaden Daniels or Marcus Mariota under center. For the Vikings, not that anyone would consider for even a second to bench Justin Jefferson, but I want to point out that we have him as our number 2 wide receiver this week. I think Carson Wentz might have his sights set on the starting job, and the best way to get there would be feeding Jefferson. And I'm not even someone who's been high on Wentz, but it would not be a complete shock if he does turn into the starter for Minnesota, even when McCarthy's healthy, if he can play lights out this week and maybe over the next couple of weeks, getting a chance to run the Vikings offense. At tight end, starting with the weekly advice and sticking with Minnesota, we have TJ Hockenson as our overall tight end 7, with the hopes that the offense is simply better with Wentz under center right now. And Wentz has a history targeting tight ends, obviously with Zach Ertz all those years in Philadelphia. So look for the passing attack to roll through Jefferson and Hockenson this week against Cincinnati. And for the buy low and sell high, first, I'd be looking to acquire Isaiah Likely. I don't understand why his ownership's so low on most platforms, but he could be back on Monday night, and he should be a mid-range tight end 1 after he knocks the rust off for a week or two. And for the sell high, although the value is not that high right now, but Travis Kelce, it's clear he's very frustrated with how the offense has operated thus far. He had the long touchdown in week 1, but the key drop in week 2 that erased a would-be touchdown for him. With Rashee Rice returning in 4 more games, Kelce could be more of an afterthought, especially if the struggles continue. The touchdown in the opener was really manufactured more than anything else, and the focus that we hoped Kelce would have after returning this year hasn't seemed to come to fruition so far. I do think he'll go off this week against the Giants, so another player where maybe hope he does go off and then could look to trade him while his value's high before the return of Rice changes how the Kansas City offense operates. So that will conclude this episode. As always, you can find our full rankings on wolfsports.com, and if you're a Fantasy Consigliere member, we'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Until next time, I'm Dylan Chapin, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.